This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. If you've ever been outside on a hot day, you've likely sought out a shady spot under a tree to get out of the sun. Trees are nature's shade providers and can keep areas cool. But in urban areas, there can be a big divide between which neighborhoods have trees and which ones don't. And it's a breakdown between more affluent and more poor areas. This could have a long-term impact on the health of people who don't have ready access to shade as climate change makes our summers hotter. Alejandra Barunda recently talked to WPR's Jay Carlisle Larson about her latest piece called A Shady Divide, which looks at tree disparities in wealthy versus poor neighborhoods in Los Angeles. Here's that conversation.
The title of your piece is The Shady Divide. It's a look at the shaded and the unshaded. It's the places with trees and those without. What drew you to this topic?
That's a great question. I cover climate and the environment for Nat Geo, and a thing that I've always been really passionate about is putting climate change into kind of social context. And one of the things that I think is really important is that climate change and a lot of environmental challenges don't affect everyone equally. And I actually have a lot of family in Los Angeles and some parts of the city that we went to for this story. And there was just such a clear divide that I remember seeing when I was smaller. And we saw again when we were doing the reporting for this story, where some parts of the city are experiencing a totally different heat environment than others. So my family that lives in Los Angeles, in Southeast Los Angeles, is living in a hotter world than people in other neighborhoods. And I think that's a really important thing for us all to be thinking about as we kind of confront the reality of climate change, is that already some people are experiencing its effects much more acutely and much worse than other people. And I was really glad we could get a chance to explore that in the story.
Yeah. And so, Alejandra, you are a former climate scientist, if I have that correct. Can you explain what happens with sun and heat when an area lacks trees or even man-made shade?
Yeah. So there are really big effects that have really big public health impacts when you don't have shade and trees. So, I mean, we all know this from personal experience, right? Like if you step into a shady area, you're automatically going to feel better than if you're out in the direct sunlight. And that goes for like the human body, and it also goes for the built environment. So if you can stop the sun from hitting black asphalt or, you know, some kind of big concrete building or something, you stop those things that are really good at absorbing heat from sucking that heat in. And whenever something sucks heat in, it has to release it again, right? So if you have shade that can kind of stop that heat absorption from happening, you stop the neighborhood itself from kind of building up this backlog of heat. And that turns out to have really big effects on the temperature of the place. In cities, in neighborhoods that have a lot of shade and usually less asphalt and less concrete, the temperatures can be, you know, in some cases over 10 degrees cooler than neighborhoods that don't have a lot of shade and trees. And that is a huge difference. That's so obvious when you're on the ground, you know.
LA at its core is a city that was, you know, designed in many ways to be quote unquote sunny. Can you talk about just a little bit about the human intervention there and how we got, you know, an LA where there is a discrepancy between, you know, shady tree-lined areas and then places that are mostly concrete?
Yeah, there's a couple different pieces to that I think are really important. And the first is that, like you're saying, Los Angeles is really designed around a couple things. One, sunshine, and two, cars. The city, like many others across the country, has been redesigned really, really aggressively and really intentionally throughout the 20th century to make it easier for cars to get around. It has widened streets. It's added parking. It's done a lot to kind of expand the streetscape for cars and not for people and pedestrians. A lot of parts of the city used to have trees, and they used to have shade structures and awnings and comfortable places for people to walk around. A lot of downtown Los Angeles was like that a century ago or beyond. But this decision to kind of embrace the open sunshine and also embrace car culture really changed the shape of the city, as it has in many other places across the country. So trees would get taken out to make way for wider streets or for more parking, and kind of the pieces that made it comfortable to walk around and sit around and wait for buses got taken out because those were not priorities. And you end up with this open, this very open space that like embraces sunshine in a way that is really wonderful, but also makes it pretty unbearable to be outside during some of the major heat waves. The other really important piece of this is the history of racist policies like redlining that have really changed the shape of different parts of the city. So redlining were these policies that the federal government put in place in the 1930s and that were in place until the 60s that made it easier to get federally backed home loans in some neighborhoods that they considered good and made it harder and possible to get home loans in others that they considered bad, often places that were home to communities of color. And this started off this cycle of investment and disinvestment in the different areas that's really clear today and is reflected in the tree canopy of these different neighborhoods.
We are talking to Alejandra Barunda right now. She is an environmental writer for National Geographic. She recently wrote a piece looking at Los Angeles as a case study, but really we can take lessons from this for other urban cities about the role of shade, trees, and how trees in particular can help keep cities cooler and by extension keep their residents healthier. So we just talked a little bit about redlining just then. Can you talk about what we have found about the difference between more affluent areas and how much tree cover they have and those that are less economically wealthy?
Yeah, so redlining really shaped the current experience of trees in both Los Angeles and in cities really across the country. In some of the neighborhoods that we were looking at, tree cover in the wealthier neighborhoods, which were graded A under the redlining scheme, had, you know, something like 30 or 40% tree cover. So that means that when you look up above, you know, up at the sky above you, about 40% of the sky would be covered by tree canopy. That's amazing. That makes a scenario that is really comfortable. There's a lot of shade. It's pretty cool and pleasant to be in. And then in some of the other neighborhoods that we visited that were graded D or redlined under this scheme, there was sometimes less than 10% tree cover. So we were looking at places with 2, 3, 4% tree canopy, and the experience is just totally different. You can't find a place to stand in the shade if you're trying to, and the temperatures were many, many degrees hotter. I had to change clothes, you know, when we're going between these neighborhoods.
It seems as though people are much more aware of this as an issue. And there's been a movement to replant some of the trees that have been lost over time. Can you tell us a little bit about what you heard from people that are part of these initiatives to replant trees?
Yeah, so a lot of cities, I think, are doing a really good job of kind of recognizing both the value of trees more generally, that they're this really important part of our city infrastructure and a thing that we should be putting a lot more resources into planting and supporting, and also recognizing the disparities that exist, that wealthier, often whiter neighborhoods have a lot more of this wonderful natural resource than other neighborhoods. Los Angeles, I think, has done a really good job of this. They recognize the problem really clearly and have put a lot of effort and energy and some money behind closing that disparity. And so they're planting tens of thousands of trees in neighborhoods that have historically not had the kind of trees and tree infrastructure that others have. And this is happening in a lot of other cities across the country as well. But there's a really long way to go. And as you all know super well, trees, you know, it takes them a long time. This is a long-term project, essentially. This is not a thing that is going to be fixed overnight, but climate change is a long-term challenge. So the more we can do now, the better.
Well, Alejandra, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's been great to talk to you.
That was Alejandra Barunda, an environment reporter for the National Geographic. She talked to WPR's Jay Carlisle Larson about her recent piece, A Shady Divide, looking at disparities between wealthy neighborhoods with more tree cover versus poor neighborhoods with fewer trees.